On the time chart of Bible prophecy, it's 11:55. I believe that's a correct statement. Might be a little more accurate to say 11:59. If you take the timeline since creation, and I've done that as a young man, we actually had I don't know how long this platform is, but it was probably a 30 feet, probably, chart that I used to hang up, and we'd talk about events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, and had a timeline of, you know, so many years from creation to here, so many years then to here, till when Jesus came. And so looking at it from that perspective of timeline since creation, maybe it's more accurate to say it's 11:59. But the time chart of Bible prophecy, we're in the final moments, I personally believe, because he said you would not be ignorant concerning the times and seasons. Beware of people who set definite times for the Lord to come back. It says no man knows the day or the hour. But it does say that I do not want you to be ignorant concerning the season. He wants us to know the season. He says you can read the weather, you look at the sky, and you say it's such and such, so it's, you know, such and such is going to happen in the weather. He says, why can you read the sky, but you can't read the signs? Actually, it's the Lord's will that we know the season that he comes back. He wants us to be in touch and be aware. The sad thing is that I would estimate that probably out of every 100 churches having service this morning, I'll bet you there aren't 3 or 4 mentioning anything about the return of Christ. I could be wrong. I'm talking all churches, and there are some very strong on second coming of Christ, and there are churches that make maybe more racket noise and more advertising, so it seems. But actually, what I have learned is, when I used to go out and do guest speaking, Pam and I'd go out to various churches and do guest speaking, I was surprised at the foundational churches that had been there for years, that you would talk about the return of Christ, and elderly people would come up to you after the service and say, I haven't heard a sermon about that for 20 years, probably. And I was amazed at the lack of warning and preparation for the return of Christ. The Bible says it's the blessed hope. Boy, life's hard. It's the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Blessed means happy. It's the happy hope. It's what cheers you up on a down day. It's what cheers you up when you realize the trials of life are pretty heavy today. The promise of the return of the Lord. And I believe that in the time chart of Bible prophecy, it is 11:55. Or 11:59 perhaps. Matthew 25:6 says, at midnight there was a cry made. And that's why I've kind of picked 11:55. At midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And of course, Matthew 24 is kind of a condensed version or kind of a condensed outline of the book of Revelation. Matthew 25 then tells about the 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins and the story of the bridegroom coming, and it's the beautiful word picture of Jesus coming back for the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about CMO here or the Brethren Church or the Baptist Church. We're talking about those who are walking, ecclesia, the body of Christ, those who are following the Lord, and the Lord knows his own. He knows his own. It's going to be interesting when the rapture happens and the Christians leave this world, because I think there's going to be some real surprises. God has his own that he knows. There are others that are going through the motions and making lots of profession that don't have a walk with the Lord. It's a relationship. It's not signing up for church membership. That can be part if church has membership. We don't, but you can. It's not rituals that you go through, even though some of those may have great value and symbolize things. This wedding ring does not make me married. This wedding ring shows that I am married. The vows make us married. This wedding ring does not make me married. The vows that Pam and I made. I now take this woman whose hand I hold to be my wedded wife, to solemnly promise before God and these witnesses that I'll love, honor, and cherish her, forsaking all others for her alone. I'll faithfully perform all the duties that a husband owes a wife so long as I live? I do, we say. It's the vow we made to the Lord. Jesus made a vow to us in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Don't let the enemy steal that vow. That's yours to own. You can have a clean slate. You can start over. Then we make some vows to Him as we go along. Lord, I will follow You, as Brian sang in that Serve, Love, You, Keep. I will follow You. And we seek, and God's so gracious that when we flub up on that vow, He says, get back up. Come on. Come on, let's re-say the promise. Come on. And I'm not suggesting unfaithfulness, but I'm saying that, God, these are difficult days. And get back up. Get back up. If you trip, mess up, get back up. God's the God of second chances. But we are the bride of Christ, and He is coming back for His bride. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go you out to meet Him. So, where are we? I'd like to say a few things about where we are in time. Just to get going here, I'm not going to talk real long today. Where we are in time in the world scene. Where we are in time in the world scene. The evidence is all around us in our world today. Anybody that studies Bible prophecy, get a little pitter-patter going on in your heart with the whole Iran-Russia deal. Anybody? There's a reason for that. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, Ezekiel 37 and 38 are dedicated to the return of Israel, the children of Israel, to the land where they are that God gave them. And that happened in 1948. Jesus said, this generation will not pass until all be fulfilled. Ezekiel 38, the next chapter, says that the king of the north, in Scripture, direction is from Israel. It says the king of the north, the Hebrew word for north in the Hebrew original translation of the Bible, which was the Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, is extreme north. Preachers have been preaching for years. My father preached that at some point in time, Russia, Iran, those far north from Israel are going to come down upon the mountains of Israel and there's going to be a war. That is coming. Now, whether that's next week, and of course, with today's technology, things can change really quick. One button pushed and it changes the whole world scene. I'm telling you something. Do you realize how vulnerable we are in this country? I'm not trying to promote fear. I'm just telling you what time it is. I'm not trying to promote fear. I'm just telling you what time it is. It's 11:55. Do you know how vulnerable we are in our world today in this secure America of ours? And I think we've had a window of opportunity under this last administration. I don't know what you think of that, but that's what I think. I think we've had a window of opportunity and some opportunity to return to some things and get some things straightened out. But do you realize how vulnerable we are? If the terrorists in our world is full of them, begin to attack the grids, we're in big trouble. That's where I would go. We don't know what to do at the Robin's house if the power goes out. Are you like that? We don't know what to do. We don't know how to live. We worked in the inner city. The inner city people don't know what to do if McDonald's is closed. They couldn't raise a tomato if they had to. I'm not slamming their intelligence. They don't know how to do it. If McDonald's is closed, they don't know what to do. You talk about in Revelation mass rioting and people taking over and brother turning on brother. I'm telling you something. We're so vulnerable, it isn't funny. We're so vulnerable, everything can change very quickly. I'm not trying to instill fear, I'm trying to instill trust. But put your trust in the right things. These are days to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Keep God as the highest priority. Keep your relationship with Him on track, because at midnight the cry is going to be made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. Where we are in the world scene. The Scripture says in Matthew 24:33, when you see all these things come to pass, know that it's near, even at the doors. The return of Christ is very, very close. It is amazing the things happening on the world scene. Keep an eye on this whole situation in the Middle East and the whole gain of Russia back to power and what's going on there with Iran, because Ezekiel 38 makes very clear that the most northern kingdom from Israel is going to come down. And there is going to be a war. I personally believe, you may disagree with this, and I'm always very careful when something's my opinion. I have studied prophecy over the years a lot, and I have some strong opinions, but I will always tell you when it's my opinion versus what the Bible actually says. I personally think that the Ezekiel 38 of Russia coming down, possibly in an alliance with Iran. I'm not all sure who all will be involved in that. But the Bible does list some ancient names, and people have tried to decipher who that is. But it is going to be quite a war. I personally think that that coincides with the opening of the second seal, which is in Revelation, which is the red horse of war. I think that coincides. The first horse was the Antichrist coming forth, the white horse, and he's on a white horse, and then the red horse of war. I personally think the red horse of war opening the second seal coincides with Ezekiel 38. That's my own opinion in studying over the years and praying over and asking God for direction on understanding. Don't be afraid to read the scripture anywhere and ask for understanding. Lord, give me insights into scripture. God will open your understanding and you'll see things. And you'll, you know, it's interesting how God will use scripture. When Billy Graham passed away, I shared this a couple weeks ago, but it always comes to mind. The Bible says that the gospel shall be preached into all the world, and then will the end come. One of the signs of the end times is that the gospel's gotten out everywhere. That's what technology's about. The world thinks that's all for their advancement. God used technology to get the word of God all over the world. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world, and then will the end come. When David Wilkerson, who I believe to be an anointed prophet, and when Billy Graham died, God spoke to me. I was sitting on the bed watching the news, and I began crying, and the Lord said to me, as clear as anything, this is the end of an era. Oh, was he the only one who preached the gospel? Oh, no. But he represented the evangelistic outreach of our day. Anybody, regardless who you are, your background, if you said the name Billy Graham, they knew it was about get saved and saying, just as I am and come to the Lord. That's what it was about. He said the gospel will be preached into all the world, and then will the end come. And when that man died, I never knew him. My brother was on his board, and we knew something about him. He's an incredible man of integrity and sacrificed right down to the end. We knew something about Ruth and Billy Graham. And Paul, my brother, was on the Evangelistic Association board for years and was in meetings with Billy Graham, so we had a connection there. And Ruth Graham said that when Billy would leave to go to a revival meeting, when his older years, he was so worn out that he would stand at the door and cry at his home. And hug her and say, I hate to go, but I have to go. It's in me. I've got to go. I believe God commissioned him to do that, to help get the gospel out. For the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, and then will the end come. We've gotten the gospel out, and that has happened. There was a missionary push in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Pam and I were part of an organization that was really high on that. That's one of the reasons I joined them. I wasn't big on denominations, but I liked the Christian and Missionary Alliance because that's exactly what it was. It was the Christian church and missionaries making an alliance, and their push was to get the gospel out. And in the district superintendent's office in Chicago, where I used to visit, Jerry Mapstone, who became a friend of mine, in the office, they had a huge logo, and it said, Bringing Back the King. And I thought, isn't that awesome? I like this. Bringing back the King. We're going to get the gospel out, because we want to bring back the King. Because when the gospel gets preached everywhere, then the King's coming back. The King is coming back. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. The day of the Lord will come, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works thereof shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3. At midnight, the cry came. I'm passionate about this because I feel it in my spirit of what's going on. The Bible says also, we're talking about right now where we are in time. The Bible says that in the last days, knowledge will increase. Can you believe it? Can you believe the increase in knowledge and technology? Can you even grasp it? This is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Brad, do you ever think in our lifetime there would be driverless semis? Get out of here. You got to be kidding me. Not you, Brett. Yeah. I am God. This generation, there's a new spirit of Antichrist. It says the spirit of Antichrist will be forerunner to the Antichrist. Now, we know there's an Antichrist coming and a tribulation hour coming. We know that. But it says before the Antichrist, there'll be the spirit of Antichrist. What is the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of Antichrist is I am God. Prove that, Tom. Okay. It says in 2 Thessalonians and matches in Matthew chapter 24 and also matches in Revelation, and I can show you those, won't take time to turn them to them today. It says that during the tribulation period at the halfway point, which we believe to be at 3.5 years, 7-year tribulation period, halfway point, 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to go into the Jewish temple and declare that he is God and demand worship. The Antichrist is going to say, I am God. And it says the world is going to wonder after the beast. They're going to wonder after him. Okay, the spirit of Antichrist, it says in 1 John, to beware that the forerunner to the Antichrist is the spirit of Antichrist, and John even said it's already begun. Hollis, when we were growing up, in our generation, it was rebellion against God. You know, we've talked about that a little bit before, but not everyone was here. Woodstock, scream profanities, rebellion against God. Nobody's going to tell me. I'll do whatever I want. The new generation, and we've entered a new era, it's not anymore rebel against, it's I am God. I'll decide whether I'm a boy or a girl. Uh-uh, that's not my decision. I'll decide this, I'll decide that, I'll decide that. Don't get sucked into it. We're not God, He is. Sign of end times is the I am God attitude. Sign of end times. And the Bible says in Revelation that Jesus is going to come to a point where God is going to come to a point where He's going to send Jesus back because it says the cup of His wrath will run over. You ever had your cup of wrath run over with your kids? That's it. You get it. That pushed me over the edge. Well, we're made in the image of God. You know, personality doesn't just mean eyes, nose, and mouth. That means personality. We're made in the image of God. And it says in Revelation that the cup of His wrath will run over. Knowledge will increase. This stuff's crazy. Knowledge will increase. In the 1980s, when Daddy and Mom were in Haiti, it took 6 weeks to get communication to and from my father. You wrote a letter. You sent it to Miami, Florida. Missionary flights flew it to Port-au-Prince. On Port-au-Prince, it got to a boat eventually, and the boat went out to Jeremy, and it got to the makeshift post office at Jeremy, and it got to Dad. And by the time Dad got it, 3 weeks had passed, and then he answered, and I took care of his finances on this end. Pam and I together took care of the home front while he was in Haiti. So sometimes it got frustrating. It took 6 weeks sometimes to get an answer. Wouldn't you? I can pick up WhatsApp, your daddy, and say, "Hey, Johnny, what's up? How we doing? Hey, Tom, what's going on?" In the last days, knowledge will increase. You say, "Oh, Pastor, now some of these signs, earthquakes, famines, pestilence," I'm quoting Matthew 24. "Some of these signs, you know, there's always been those things. It isn't about there always being those things. It's about the intensity that it is now." Matthew 24 says, all these will be the beginning of birth pains. What do we know about birth pains? The closer to delivery, Jesus comes in the sky and the Lord Himself descends with a shout and the voice of the archangel. What do we know about birth pains? The closer you get to delivery, the more intense and frequent the pains become. Yeah, there's always been wars and famines and pestilence and difficulties, and there's been some hideous things done in history. But it's the intensity now that makes us know the season. Oh my goodness, when we went to war just 100 years ago, it was rallying the troops, boots on the ground. Now we don't even have the ground or boots. we've got buttons, and now we're going, you know, they've put Vice President Pence in charge of developing space war. You know, we got to get into all that area. This is crazy. In the last days, knowledge will increase. It's becoming more intense. The number system. Oh, you all are familiar with chips. That's common life. It says in Revelation that they'll be required to take a number. It's the number of a man. The number is 666, which is 666, that there'll be a numbering system for the world, and you can't buy or sell, and it'll be under the authority of the Antichrist. It's obvious in the whole banking and all that goes on. We don't need anybody to describe that to us. We know everything's headed that way, where you're going to have to... You won't be able to buy and sell. And the danger of that is that, and I believe God will give us wisdom when that time comes, if the rapture hasn't happened yet, to know what to do. I've had people say, "This is getting so complex. How do you know when the mark of the beast comes? How do you?" And I say, I believe that God will give you wisdom to know that. He'll give you a stirring in your spirit. That's why we want to walk with the Lord. Because if you're way out in left field, you're not going to pick up the signals. You with me? But I believe when we face some of those things, we'll know in our spirit, we'll know in our heart of hearts. God will give it to your shepherd. He'll know. And I want to say something about principalities and powers and areas. Do you know that the enemy has the world divided up into regions? We know that. We don't understand everything about the kingdom of darkness, and it all isn't spelled out for us, and it doesn't need to be because we have Jesus. So we don't need to know all the dirty details. But we do know that from Scripture and various references, that the kingdom of darkness is divided up. There are princes, evil princes, that the devil has over certain areas. The prince of Persia withstood Daniel's prayer. And I want to say something here. It might shock you just a little bit. And it could sound like self-advertisement, but I'm going to trust you that you're not going to take it that way, because that is not what it is. That is absolutely not what it is. I think a lot can be drawn from far away TV preachers, etc. I think a lot can be drawn. I saw David Wilkerson in person very few times, but I did hear his broadcast, and I was tremendously encouraged. But I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to believe this and grab a hold of this, and if you won't, that God will convince you. You need your local shepherd, because the way God has set this up, your local shepherd is in touch with the principalities and powers, if he's a praying man, in your area. That's how God has set it up, under shepherds. Remember Jesus talked about being the over shepherd? And a lot of people now, there's a movement nowadays, oh, I'll just stay home in my easy chair and I'll just watch. I can pick up anything on TV ministry. Yeah, and you won't be in touch with the principalities and powers, because anointed ministers, and we want that, and if you don't have one, get rid of it. Anointed ministers will be in touch through prayer with the principalities and powers that are at work in your area. And he'll address things that he doesn't even realize, because God knows what the devil's up to in that area. Somebody 2,000 miles from here doesn't know that. I believe that the pastor in the old church where Alan used to work in Oklahoma is probably very in touch with the principalities and powers in Durant, Oklahoma. And I can pop in there and be a guest speaker, and they can all say, man, I enjoyed that guy's leukemia story, and I liked hearing his sermon, and that was great. But week by week, I don't know what goes on there. But there's an independent, listen, sorry I'm so intense, but this goes to my heart. There's a movement nowadays to scrap the local church. There's a movement, I don't need a shepherd. I can read all this by myself. If there was ever a day at 11:55 you need a shepherd, you need to button it up and listen to the shepherd God give you. If it isn't me, then that's fine. It doesn't have to be here. But find an anointed man that God can use, because it's 11:55 and your local minister is in touch with principalities and powers. The reason I say that with such passion is because sometimes when I'm on my prayer walk, God will show me something and I'll just break down and weep. And he'll say, address that. And I'll think, okay, I will address that. Because he knows what the devil's up to. This guy 2,000 miles from here might be a wonderful godly man for his area, but he doesn't know what you need, because he doesn't live in Peru, Indiana. And we're all smart enough to know that there's a different feel, different places. You can feel that. Have you ever gone to a city and you're just like, man, this feels awkward here? That's because you're not accustomed to the principalities and powers in that area. That's why we often pray for people when they go away or go somewhere else. You're dealing with a new set of forces. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the truth, is what it is. That's the truth. I can feel it. Never sell in my body that that's the truth. I know it's the truth. The Bible says the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit on truth. You'll know in your heart of hearts when something's right and true. And here lately, I feel like God's been showing me something. He said, son, I want you to get bolder as you get older. That's scary. He said, I want you to get bolder as you get older, because people are got a sack over their head and they're not seeing it. But that, my friend, is prophetic. For in the last days, it says in Revelation that the Laodicean church will be what? Lukewarm. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, because you can't see. So a sign of the times is lukewarmness. I'll just go to church. I've gone here for 35 years, and I just kind of sit warm the pew. And I'm a good guy, and I help out with the chicken noodle dinner, you know, and all that. But there's no fire. There's no passion. You with me? Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness, that's a sign of the end times. And then it's interesting, he goes on and says, anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. Blindness is a sign of the return of Christ. And I feel like the Lord's been saying to me, son, you're going to have to get bolder as you get older, because people aren't seeing this, and you got to shout them loose, shake them loose or something. So that's a little scary. May I say to you and give you a compliment? And boy, if this doesn't sound arrogant. But it isn't. It's not rooted in that. I believe this church is more in touch with what a Christian's supposed to be in any church I've been around for a long time. Because in the 5 till 12 business, what is the church called to do? We've been talking about where we are in the world, knowledge increase and all that. Where are we in the church? He's calling us to the highways and hedges, people. hear me. And I'll try to stay settled down. I have a nervous breakdown here. I'm going to pass away preaching probably one of these days, and that might be prophetic. In the story of the great banquet, and is or is not the story of the great banquet about end times? I think you all agree to that have read the Bible. We all know, that's common knowledge, the story of the great banquet is about end times. What was the last call, Vince, to invite the highways and hedges and make them come in? The harvest is past. Billy's died. David's died. The harvest is past. The big flow of harvest is past. A lot of these big churches now, they ain't preaching the whole gospel. David Wilkerson cried and wept and cried out and said, these new mega churches are only telling half the truth, folks. They're not talking about the cross. It's come one, come all. I saw a young man that everybody glorifies with my own eyes on the platform with a Hindu, a Muslim, and a Hebrew priest. Hebrew priest didn't even believe in Jesus. Get out of here. That ain't right. But oh, I have people in my congregation tell me what wonderful information they get from this guy. Makes me sick to my stomach. We are blind as a bat. You need to think at who you're listening to. This isn't self-advertisement. There's other anointed churches. You don't have to be here. But I am telling you that your shepherd is in touch. If he's anointed and he prays, God will be faithful to him, for God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And God will give him insights into what the principalities and powers are in your area, and he'll alert you to that, and God will confirm it to you in your own devotions. He's not a dictator. He's not a cult leader. He's not trying to accuse, like all the stuff I've been called. He's not trying to accuse. He wants to confirm it to you. Paul wasn't defensive. He was forward and spoke the gospel, but then he said, go home and search the scriptures and see if it isn't true. He didn't say, you just listen to me and don't read the Bible like some groups do. I won't mention any names, but there are groups. Oh, you don't understand that. Don't you read it? No, we want you to read it. Go back and see if this is right. But I believe if you'll come back after you talk with God and say, this is right. This is right. As I read it, Pastor, it spoke to my spirit. The last call, that's part of it. The highways and hedges, people. The gleaning of the fields. I'm telling you, we're not getting it. We're not getting it in the church world. I have people say to me, oh, this is just, this puts me into orbit. People say to me, oh, you're just a different kind of a church. We're not supposed to be doing that. Oh, for heaven's sakes, that's absolutely wrong. Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free. I've come to bring deliverance. Well, that's not what we do. Well, you don't have to do it just the way we do it, but I'm telling you, my friend, it's 5 till 12, and we're in the season of the last call. Highways and hedges, people, compel them to come in. Make them come in. Do whatever you have to do to get them to come in. That's what he's calling us to do. I have no idea what my notes and where I am. All right. Dangers. Taking the heat in these last days. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Oh, come on, receive this from me. Receive this from me. This is a biggie. The goal of the enemy is to offend you. The goal of the enemy is to offend you and cause you to question Jesus. The heat is on. The heat is on, and not everybody's going to withstand it. And the goal of the enemy is to get you to question Jesus, to walk you into unfair, ugly circumstances, and then tell you God isn't who he said he was. Oh, if you're a Christian, this should have been taken care of. Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. I don't want to be offended in Jesus. Don't get mad at Jesus. He didn't make this mess. This is years of wrong decisions and following the master of darkness. We got a world that's unraveling. We got a world that's in an absolute mess. Don't be offended at Jesus. Some of you, because you've devoted yourself to a ministry, and boy, if you misunderstand me today, I'll catch it for this, because this could sound so arrogant. It's not rooted in that. When you are part of a ministry that understands the timeline, are you listening? When you are part of a ministry that understands the timeline and they're reaching out to the folks they're supposed to be, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. You familiar with that verse? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. If you are in a church, and I believe there's others in our county, if you are in a church where it isn't just about hollering, Lord, Lord, but they're doing the will of the Father, they get this thing. They're in the timeline. They understand what's going on. They get the depravity of sin. They get where we are in time. They get this whole spirit antichrist thing, and they recognize that it's 11:59. If you are in there fighting for that group, the devil will do everything possible to offend you at Jesus because he wants to take you out. We met with a couple that we dearly love. I'll not say who it was. They're here this morning. We met with a couple that we dearly love on their porch. And I told Pam before we went over there, I said, we're supposed to go over and talk to them because this is exactly what's happening with them. They're giving themselves to a ministry. They're starting a new blossoming in their life. They're moving toward God in a new way, and God sees the potential they have because of their story and everything. And he sees they got a passion, and they're in the will of God. So guess what, God? Guess what the devil's trying to do? Tear their marriage to pieces. And they were so receptive, and I have such confidence in them, but I believe God sent us over there. He wants to tear you down. And I've got to be careful getting too personal because I'm getting older and bolder. But Autumn and Andy, I've seen the tears in your eyes when I talk about these kids that we work with over here at Teen Church. In that office the other day, when I met to pray with you, I saw the tears come up in your eyes, Autumn, when we talked about some individuals that we've tried to help in the youth group that you have a burden for. The devil sees that too, and he says, I don't want somebody that's anointed doing this, so let's destroy them if we can. It's exactly what he's about. Jesus penned it. He said he's out to kill and destroy. Guys, are you listening? Fight for your marriage. Are you listening? Fight for your marriage. Look the devil in the face in Jesus' name and say, you are not splitting my wife and I up. Because you can come to church and you can sing Amazing Love and you can sing Fear is a Liar and you can sing Where He Leads, I'll Follow, but out in front of the world, if they can get you to trash your marriage, then you lost your confidence, because if our hearts condemn us, we don't have any confidence. And if we're walking around in society feeling like, well, the main thing I was supposed to do right in my marriage, I messed it up, so there's no point in me helping in the kingdom of God, and the devil laughs the rest of your life. Are you with me? Guys, fight. 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 I sat in a restaurant the other day where sports is the emphasis. I like sports. My son's a basketball coach. Of course I like sports. And the guy walked right in. You talk about bold. Later watched him. I don't think he's normally a bold guy. He walked in there. Anybody in here for Indiana? Because I only want to sit with Purdue people. He wasn't afraid to fight for his team. You know? It's amazing the fight we can have, you know, because we drive a Ford, you know. Just having fun. The harassment you can take because you bought a Ford. Fight for the stuff that matters. Fight for it. I'm not giving in on this. I'm not doing this. I had a drop-dead gorgeous girl on the streets of Chicago, and we were trying to reach out, look at me and say something inappropriate in the form of an offer. And the Spirit of God just smote me on the inside and feeling sadness for her. She's 16. We end up helping her get off the street and back home. She's 16. And it's just us here. I looked at her and tears came up my eyes. I don't think she ever seen a man cry. And I said, I can't do that. She said, what do you mean you can't? Something wrong with you? I said, you don't understand. And I began to talk to her. And before long, she started crying. Word of God's powerful. Stand your ground. Get out that, not my little Sharpie, get out the wide felt marker, the one that's this wide that just bleeds ink all over the place. Grab that rascal by both hands and draw a line. You all right? That's who I am. Factory, you can go the rest of the way if you want to, but here's who I am. Draw a line. You talk about an ADD marriage, I've been all over, or ADD message, I've been all over the place here. Whew. Dangers, obviously I'm not going to get through this today. Taking the heat. Don't be offended at Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, I won't mention this name this time, but I have a partner in ministry that has had some incredible unfair circumstances in the last 4 or 5 years, and I personally think it's because he has bought in. He has bought in. He has bought in to this timeline and this mission, and he believes it's true. And he's taken incredible fair circumstances, and he's taken the blunt edge of a lot of things. Man, you say, Pastor, you're pretty worked up about this. Well, they're dropping off the end of the bench, that's why. They're dropping off the end of the bench. Devil gets in, causes offenses. We get our eyes on the wrong things. We forget the main thing, the main thing. Keeping the main thing, the main thing. And man, these are treacherous days. I don't know what to do next. It's Cordial 12. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. Don't be offended at Jesus. Devil likes to come along, oh, God's unfair. This is that. Why did this happen to you? And if God's who he says he is, the devil quotes scripture to you. He did it to Jesus. Matthew chapter 4. He said, jump off the temple. For the Bible says, at Psalm 91, that his angels will keep charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Devil quotes scripture to you. This last 5 minutes before the return of Christ, it's 11:55, maybe 11:59. The devil's going to try to offend you in some way or another. I've seen this happen in the church over and over and over. Man, you're on a mission, buddy. We've always run a rescue resort, just wasn't under a roof. Hello? We have. If you go back to Zion Chapel, when I was 28 years old, Brandon and Brian's parents were here, they'd tell you, back then. What were we doing? We were having Singspirations, which were James services, and we were asking people to bring neighbors that had never been to church. And then we were feeding them after church. We've been doing the same thing, we just keep retitling it. But when you're part of something that is turning prison inmates into preachers, is turning girls who sold themselves on the street to saintly young women, is turning alcoholics into people who are so thirsty for God they can't get enough and won't miss the Bible study. The devil gets angry. He wants to take you out. He wants to give you a heart attack. He wants to give you a stroke. He wants to ruin your finances. He wants to get your kids in all kind of trouble. He wants to get you arrested. He wants to publicly humiliate you. I cannot tell you the public humiliation I've had at times on things that were absolute nonsense. And when I'd get alone and say, Lord, what is this about? And he would say, the devil wants to take you out. He wants to kill you and do away with you. That's what he wants to do because you're vocal about this thing. I'm nobody special. Don't put me on some pedestal. No. Everything God's done in our lives, God will do in your life with your asking. Now, we do have different gifts. We do have different gifts. And God will use those gifts. That's what the body of Christ is about. Don't be offended at Jesus. I'll not go through these, but in closing, I'm going to highlight these. Rejection from family. You guys, you're going to have some rejection from family in these last days. This has gotten real spiritual. And there's a devil. There is a father of darkness. And he has the regions of the world divided up into different segments. And there are demonic forces at work. Ephesians 6. There are principalities and powers at work. And he'll try to stir up your own family against you because he knows that'll hurt your heart. He knows that if your kids turn against you, it'll kill you. And so he says, that's how to take him out. Pam and I we've talked about this for hours, of how the enemy will use things and twist things. Best friends, you'll have betrayal in your life. People that you would have swore that would be with you till you died, and they'll turn on you and call you names. It's unbelievable. I told Pam one time, I haven't ever figured out how you can be the Messiah and the Antichrist in the same 6 months. I can't figure that out. Now, you shouldn't have been the Messiah, that's for sure. I'm just saying how people are, that the way they're glorified is almost embarrassing, and 6 months later, you're the Antichrist. How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. D-E-V-I-L is how it happens. The enemy gets in, he twists things around, he tears things up. And in Jesus' name, he needs called on it. Don't let him run your life. Don't let him run your life. Don't let him run your marriage. Tell him, get out of there. He ain't got any business in there. Your home's new territory. It's now God's, and what you own belongs to God. Rejection from family, oh, that's painful. Matthew chapter 10 says, brother turn against brother, you know, daughter-in-law against father-in-law, on it goes, that they'll turn. It happens. It hurts like everything. Can't get offended at Jesus. Jesus, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. I can't do this. That's, oh man, devil's got you on the run when you start there. You know what? I'm not trying to be insensitive to anybody. I'm not aware of anybody going through this right now. So if there is somebody, don't think I'm nailing you, because I'm not aware of it. Pam and I made a decision when we first got married, and in June 29th, we've been married 45 years. Now, I know we don't look 45, but we've been married 45 years. What's that talking about? You weren't listening. Oh, we made a decision. We made a decision 45 years ago that we would not use the word divorce in our home. That on the multiple choice, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that wasn't one of the options. Don't invite the enemy in. Don't announce to him you're thinking about quitting, because he'll ride you harder. Hang in there, Lynn. You got a heart as big as Texas, sister. You got a heart as big as Texas. Hang in there. I'll tell you, when you care, you take some beatings. I know it. I know it from personal experience. I've had stuff I've said, Lord, I can't take any more of this. I love it, but I got to get out. I can't take any more. And God will listen to you for a little bit and let you say all those things. And then he'll come in and he'll warm your heart. He'll encourage you and he'll remind you why you signed up in the first place, Rita. He'll remind you why you signed up in the first place. And then you feel that hunger growing again. And man, when you end that 5-mile walk, you've rebuked the devil and put him back in his place. And you're ready to do what you need to do that day. And you want to get back in the will of God. Because not everyone says, Lord, Lord, let her in. But he does the will of Father. I want to be doing the will of Father. And it's 5 to 12. It's time. Almost is. It is 5 to 12. And the Lord's coming back. And the signs are all around us. In the church and in the world. Is that wedding music I hear? We sing an old quartet song once in a while. Brian and I get to slip back into that every once in a while. He grew up in that era too. He's a lot younger than me, but he was a little kid. We even had a little boys quartet and he was in it. Pastor Ted, this is the cutest little quartet you ever saw in your life. Little guys got up here, because we had our big band's quartet and then we had the little quartet, and that was fun. We'll have to do that song again, but I love that song. My brother Jim, that went to be with the Lord, he loved that song. He visited here one Sunday, and we happened to do that song. He sent me a message that afternoon. He said, I've had that song going through my head all week and showed up, and you used it. We hadn't used it for months, so there had to be God. Is that wedding music I hear? Is that wedding music that I hear? There's a glorious celebration coming. How's that song go? Is that wedding music I hear? There's a glorious celebration. Anyway, it's a nice song. What am I saying to you? It doesn't have to be here. We're not being arrogant, folks. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can't recognize anointing and where God's working, you're not much of a Christian. Come on, there's nobody bragging when they say, I accepted Jesus and his mercy and grace and I didn't deserve it and he's put something in me and I feel it. You're not bragging when you do that. Five to 12. The signs are around us in our world. Watch Israel. Watch what's going on in the Middle East. It might cool down for a little bit, and then, you know, sometimes it does this. But we're moving toward the opening of the second seal. The Antichrist will appear in some form. We may not know who he is at first, but he comes out on a white horse and then the red horse of war. Beware. I don't know when the rapture falls and all that, for no man knows the precise day and hour. But I would not have you ignorant concerning the season, he says. I want you to know the season. And we're in the season of the return of the Lord. And if you're serving the Lord. He's trying to bring rejection from your family. He's trying to, the devil's trying to attack your marriage. The devil's trying to bring rejection from your family. You're dealing with principalities and powers. Take a picture of that. It'd be good to have it on your phone. There's a spirit of Antichrist, that I am God. You know how to defeat the spirit of Antichrist that wants to work and even take over in your life? You know how to do it? Well, the spirit of Antichrist is I am God. What's the opposite of that? Totally surrendering and saying, Lord, you are God. I surrender all. Pam says I hum all the time. I hum songs all the time. And I'm always humming, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. All to thee, I freely give. I surrender all. Every time I get ticked off about something, I make myself sing, I surrender all. Let her go, brother. Let her go. You got to let her go. Do this. I do it all the time. My hands just naturally do it. I've done it so many times. I'll say, Lord, help me let it go. Oh, our tendency, we got to fix everything. They this and they this and they this. Let her go. They said this about, let it go. They called you, let it go. It's so fun to surrender. It is. Let it go. And the peace that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passeth all understanding will guard your hearts. Man, that's what we need in our troubled world. He'll attack your marriage. He'll come at you with principalities and powers and the spirit of Antichrist. You'll have some grossly unfair circumstances and horrible injustice. It says in the book of Daniel, Satan knows he has a little time. He knows he's got a little bit of time, so he's got to turn the heat up in the kitchen. He knows he doesn't have much time. And mental fatigue, and this is my closing. Mental fatigue, and I have betrayal by children on there. But I feel like the one the Lord is speaking to me in the next couple minutes is mental fatigue. Let's go one more page here. I'd like you to take a picture of that or at least have it on your phone or something. Mental fatigue. Mental fatigue. Anybody get worn out mentally? Yeah. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to do the gleaning in the fields. You're trying to reach out to those around you. You're trying to do that. You're trying to hear the call and be passionate. I'm telling you, son, daughter, that wears you out. You know, I don't know how many times we've gotten phone calls and we both looked at each other and said, you got to be kidding me. You know, I'm out of bullets. I'm not even sure if I'm not out of pistols. You know, I'm out. What's he say in Daniel 7:25? That the devil's out to wear out the saints. Matthew 24:12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, by like Galatians 6:7. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sorry, I have the King James. This is a different translation. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In the King James Version, it says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Get back on. Can you see that, or is that all blurry? Oh, it's blurry? Can you read it? Oh, okay, sorry. That's all I got. That's all I got. He's trying to wear out the saints. He's trying to wear out the saints. He's trying to make the scriptures blurry so you can't see them. The ones you need, they're blurry. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But Galatians 6:9, write that down if you would, Galatians 6 down, or make a mental note. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint, if you don't give out. He's going to come through on this thing. He's going to come through on this thing. Stay faithful. Don't be offended. If you ask me after, what is it, going on 37 now, 37 years of pastoring, what's one of the greatest fears I see in the Church of Jesus Christ? It's this one. Vince, it's this one. Ministers, they're bailing. They're bailing. The ones that, I mean the ones that's run the social club aren't. But the other guys, they're bailing. Because they get worn out. The problems are overwhelming. You've been there. The problems are overwhelming. Got to give it to Jesus. But keep at it. This is the right thing. He didn't say it'd be easy. He said it'd be worth it. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. But if you sign out, you know, I'm done with this, huh? No. Stay true. Stay faithful. Jesus is coming back soon. Let's stand together for prayer.